Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
We're going to be talking about the title of my message is Moving Beyond. And we'll use several scriptures here in just a minute. A while back, I was watching a show, and a family's house had burnt completely down, and it wasn't like news or anything like that. It's just a fictional thing. But the family, of course, you're depressed. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody when they lose everything they own in a fire. But and one of the things that they really wanted was, I have no idea. I left that on the bottom there. That shouldn't be there. But I was in a hurry last night. One of the things they were really wanting, just trying to make things better, they wanted the trim off the door of their house, because they'd had that house the whole time their kids were there, and they wanted the trim where they had measured their children in each age, how they would grow up a little bit. And he said, and someone went in and said, hey, that trim is there. And so it really made them happy, because they were able to see how Johnny grew from this tall to that tall and that tall. And so you think about those marks that we see in a physical body of how it grows. And I it's interesting, because I see some kids today that they were very, very, very young when I came here. Some were not even born yet, and now they're graduating high school. And I think, wow. If you stay long enough somewhere, you see these young people grow, and that's a natural thing for that to happen. You're excited to see how much you've grown, and that mark just keeps moving. But, one day that mark does not move anymore. I think, oh, man, I wish it would have moved a little higher for me, but it quit one day. I was looking at Nick yesterday, and he had some shoes on, some tennis shoes, the leader of the camp, and he had about that much foam. I think I could use some of those. And then I didn't know if I could use that much height and get used to it or not. But there's ways. And one day we get to that point in our life, and we've all been there. We're old enough in the sanctuary to know what I'm talking about this morning. But, the Bible says something about our spiritual life also. The Bible speaks of how we are to grow as Christians. That literally it's expected for each one of us to do that in our walk with God. And it speaks in Psalms 92:12. It says this: the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And that's talking about spiritual growth. It's talking about we shall flourish, but we also shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, which is a very tall tree. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Talking about the word of God, desiring just as much as a child desires the milk when they're a baby, and they want that milk to grow. We are to desire the word of God so that we may grow. I tell you, the word of God is awesome, amen? It is something that all of us as Christians, we should live on that word. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace. When we use that word grace in a lot of different ways, but here it says, and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To grow in grace. How many know it's a wonderful thing to give other people in your life grace? Not just to receive grace, but to give grace. To grow in grace. But it also means us talking about growing in the influence of the Lord in our life. Hearing more of Christ and growing in the influence of God in our life. To grow in grace. To grow in that. And also the knowledge. To know more, it speaks of this, to know more of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where did he come from? Who was he? All this stuff, it's more than just what he did up on the cross of Calvary. I get that saving moment, but the Bible says we are to grow in more knowledge of who Jesus is. You'll go all the way back to Genesis. You'll find that he has always been, and he always will be. He was there when everything was created. How do I know that? Because I found it in the Word of God. I studied it. I've read it, and I believe it to be so. Growing in the knowledge of Jesus, he's more than just our Savior, to grow in that. And then you turn to Ephesians 4:14. It says that we henceforth be no more like children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they live in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. To grow up into him in all things. In other words, the longer we are Christians, the more we become Christ-like. We grow up in him in our relationships. We grow up in him in our workplaces. We grow up in him in our marriages, that we become more like Christ in everything that we do. How many know that should be the goal? You watch a little boy, next Sunday is Father's Day, and a lot of little boys, when they're following their dad, they're just sitting there mimicking every little thing that they do. Have you ever seen a boy do that? What's he doing? He's wanting to be that man. He's wanting to be that example that's before him. And as Christians, our example is Christ Jesus. And we should grow in our lives to where we start to mimic and we start to act, we start to think, and we start to talk like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we are to grow. But this morning, for the next few moments, I want to give a thought. In order to grow up, we must move beyond where we are. Amen? In order for us to grow up in Christ, we must move beyond where we're at. Right now, wherever you're at, whatever situation, we must grow. Because just as in order to grow or go to a higher mark on the wall, we must grow past the previous mark. The same holds true in the area of our lives and even in our church. We must move beyond where we're at now and where we're at today in our personal lives and also in the church life in order to grow into who God would have us to be. I've seen movies of I once seen a movie of a lady that every morning the same thing started over and over again in her life. And she learned that and she started to equip herself for that, to move past that point in her life. Christians and churches often, listen, get stuck in a loop. We often get stuck in a loop until they do something that requires us in order to grow. We do something different. They said the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result. And the fact is, all of us in our lives get in this loop. Churches get in a loop. We come to church on Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school. We have services. The order of service is the same. It's not necessarily talking about that, but the fact that we can get in a loop and we just every week do the same thing, go through the same process. Even in our spiritual lives, we can get stuck in a loop. And so sometimes we need to do something a little bit different in order to go or move beyond where we're at. To move beyond. I want to give you four things, because there are some things that keep us from moving beyond. I want to give us four things this morning to move beyond as a church. To move past, to move beyond some of these things. So if you got a piece of paper or something, you may want to write them down. They won't be on the board. I just got the first two points. Listen, this is not an exhausted list, but if you go on the app, the whole outline's there if you want to go there. This is not an exhausted list, but the first thing I believe for us to move beyond in the church is We must not, we must move beyond complacency. Amen? Complacency, the definition in itself says this, a feeling of being satisfied with how things are and not wanting to try to make them better. Complacency. When we get complacent with life and different things, we never move beyond that point because literally we lack it where we're at. Amen? How many of you, there's not a lot of inventions come out of we lack it where we're at. There's not a lot of new ideas come out of complacency. See, complacency has the tendency to keep you right where you're at. There's some things, I know we're supposed to be content as Christians, I get that, but sometimes we must also look at going beyond where we're at. That's all right to have peace and all that, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. When we're complacent as a church, the forward motion has stopped. Going forward for the kingdom of God, going forward to do His work, has stopped. When we get complacent as a church body, we're no longer going forward, but we're just right where we're at. We kind of like where we're at. There's a lot of churches, when they get to a certain number, they like that number, and they really are not, they're not looking to gain any more numbers. They like the size that they're at. They're complacent with the number. Therefore, they even tell people, well, we really don't need you here. We're pretty good. That's a sad thing, right? But I'm telling you this morning, complacency is not necessarily a good thing in a church body. We get complacent. Maybe the money's good in the church and all this. It just, everything's good. I feel comfortable. But one of the things when we're complacent, and when we're complacent, we have a tendency to relax so much that we let the guard down. And the enemy comes in. And when the enemy comes in the house, he starts to try to destroy the house. The enemy never comes in to make the house better. Have you ever figured that out in your life? An enemy in your life is never coming to make your life better. He might make you grow spiritually, but he's not going to help you. I'm saying today, when we're complacent, sometimes we need to move beyond complacency. There's some pastors that get to a certain age and they say, well, I just want to ride this wave out. I've never been a surfer. Some of you got it. I'm saying today there's a time that we can't. We ought to give all that we can. We got people to win. We got people to tell Jesus, tell them about Jesus. You can't become complacent as a church. You got to move beyond complacency in order to grow. Listen, a complacent church is not growing, and if it stays complacent long enough, it will begin to die. Amen? It will begin to die. Another place that we need to move beyond is the past. As a church, you've got to move beyond the past. You know, can I say this morning, 1970 at San Jacinto might have been a wonderful year, but we're no longer in 1970. We are in 2026. We cannot any longer live on yesterday's glory. We can't live on yesterday's victories. We can't live on yesterday's revivals. I'm saying there comes a point in our life that we must move beyond what happened back then. I watch young people when I talk to them and I say, let me tell you a little bit about how good I was. And of course, my stories have gotten better. I was much faster than I probably was. But I look in their eyes and I'm thinking, because I'm trying to read people and I understand that they could care less how fast I was. Come on. If all you're telling young people is your old stories, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to drop you a little note. They really don't care. Reflect back when you were young. Did you want to hear them? No. Why? Because they are living the dream. They're living in their dreams. Their life is going forward in their life, and we're trying to take them backwards. Let me say today that we must get past the past. We must go beyond who we were back then. We must go beyond who we were even last week if we're going to go forward. We need to make our own stories now. We need to make our own, not make them up. We need to have our altar stories. We need to have our stories of God's pouring His Spirit out in 2026. We need to have our own revivals in this time that we're living in. We need to move past the old saints' stories and get into today's stories and enjoy them. I'm not saying don't let them encourage you of how God poured His Spirit out. I love reading books of how God did it, but I want new stories. Amen. New stories of healing. New stories of salvation. I remember one old missionary. They were missionaries to motorcycles, and their only story in 20 years was one guy that got saved. Come on, when you're telling that 20 years later, something's wrong with the ministry. We must move beyond yesterday and the past of the church. Tradition is great until it's no longer effective. Amen? I'm not saying throw the baby out with the bathwater. Some of you know what I said. Some of you had no idea what I just said. The baby is the past. And some of the things that we learn in the past, it's a good thing. But I'm saying today is that tradition is good. I remember one time we changed our Christmas from the farm out at the ranch, and we changed it to Red River. Nobody liked it. Next year, we were back at the ranch. Because there was no need to change that tradition. But I'm saying today it changes itself eventually when certain individuals are no longer with us. And tradition's got to change. They used a horse and a buggy to come to church in the old days. Now there's a better way. Thank God. Amen. Some of you came to church in a Toyota today. Amen. Some of you drove even something nicer. Thank God that you didn't have to walk. I'm saying today that it's a good thing every now and then. Paul said this in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, he says, I have not gained all that God wants me to gain. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. Who's this? The great apostle Paul says, I forget the past in order that I may apprehend more of what God wants me to apprehend. Church, it's time that we move beyond what we did yesterday. Because we've got a world that needs Jesus. We need to move past 101 church growth. Move beyond. Listen, there's some good ideals out there, but I'm going to tell you what the big boys say you need to do to grow church does not necessarily work in a way that God wants it to work. Amen? Can I tell you the only way anybody gets added to the kingdom of God is they are washed in the blood of Jesus. You can have a church full of people, but if they're not saved, all you did was use a gimmick to get them in the house. I believe that God's is still doing growth the same way. A true church will grow the same way it did in the book of Acts. We need to be who Jesus wants us to be and use His growth strategies called prayer, be filled with the Holy Ghost, preach the gospel, disciple, and send more people. Those things were in the Word of God and they still work today. Are there different ways of promoting them today? Yes, there is, but we cannot take those out of the formula of getting people to come to Jesus Christ. They must be there. Oh, a prayer meeting does a lot of things. Come on, being filled with the Holy Ghost does a lot of things. It is the formula that grew the church overnight, and 3,000 people, then 5,000 people in the book of Acts. Today, we need to get back to the basics of what Jesus used to grow the church. Move beyond. Don't get me wrong. I get a bunch of those things, but I do believe God wants to grow the church in much, just like he did back then. We need also, I believe, is move beyond dryness. Now hold on with me. You know, if you've lived out in the panhandle long enough, you know that one of the issues is keeping your skin moisturized. Amen? I used to never use lotion, and I thought, you know, I'm going to start because I've got a little few wrinkles coming on. Moisturize. And it's amazing. You go to places like Missouri, and your skin looks so much better if you can stand to live there. All that humidity in the air. But humidity is an amazing thing. It makes everything look better. Amen? It just gives you a fresher look in your face than what you had. Can I tell you today, we need to move past dryness in the church. Now, when you talk about dryness in the church, one of the things that is a symbol of the Holy Spirit is moisture or water. Talking about outpouring. Let the river flow. Jesus said, that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. What's he referring to? The Bible says in that passage in John chapter 7, he's referring to the Holy Spirit who had not been given yet. Talks about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need to get past the dryness in church services. There needs to be a freedom to worship God. We need to just be able to shout a little bit if we need to shout. Amen. We need to be willing to say amen every now and then. Let's try that. Everybody say amen. Amen. Oh boy, that sounded good. I'm preaching now. I'm just going to tell you. But we need some, get past the dryness that's come up on a lot of congregations. You know, I don't say this in a bad way, but there's certain denominations that I can go and sit in a service and I expect it to be dry. You get a lot of exercise, up, down, but I expect it to be dry. I remember sitting at a Westland service one time when we had a community service and we started singing. We were singing a fifth Sunday singing with the local churches. And we started singing that old song, It's Well With My Soul. And we sang that chorus one time, the Westland choir, or the song leaders leading the song. And we sang it once and someone said, sing it again. This chorus. And so we sang it again. And I tell you what, about the third time we sang it, you started to sense the water called the Holy Spirit coming down in the place. And I thought, we're fixing to have church in a Westland church. And the Westland song leader got a hold of something that's about to happen that he couldn't control. Because us Pentecostal folks were starting to get a little rowdy. Because we understood what we were singing. And we started feeling the Spirit of God moving. And you could sense it in the Westland church. But he didn't sing it again. What happened? We kind of shut it down. I'm saying today, it's time that we let the river flow. Amen. I know there's a song that says, I went down to the river, a modern song. But let me tell you, let's get in the river. Amen. Let's let the Holy Ghost flow. That's what I'm tired of us Pentecostals being known for stuff that really has nothing to do with the Spirit moving. I think it's time that we enjoy the presence of God once again. Oh, we've been dry in the panhandle. Isn't it great to see a little bit of green coming up? The moisture we got last night, 0.34, man, that's like a flood for the panhandle. I'm just saying, but look what it does, just that little bit of rain, what it does to the buffalo grass, the native grass, it greens up quickly. I'm saying today, we need a little bit of rain at San Jacinto. We need the Holy Ghost to come down in the midst of us. We need to be Pentecostal one more time in the time that we live in. Hallelujah. So the dryness will go, amen, yes. We need it again. What happens? We start to flourish like the buffalo grass. Amen. Now, I didn't call y'all grass. I'm just example here. I'm saying we need to once again look like we're alive. Amen. We were going somewhere the other day, and I looked out there, and I said, man, it looks like August in the panhandle of Texas. Everything was just brown. Thank God it's starting to turn green. The dryness. I don't know if the drought's over, but we're sure enjoying that little over a quarter of an inch. We need more in the church. We need to get past the dryness that we feel. We are Pentecostal people. Amen. We are Pentecostal people. Amen. We've been named for all kinds of running on the pews. You're going to have a hard time doing that here. But I'm going to say there's a lot of things that they label us with. Let us at least be labeled with the fact that the Holy Ghost is moving in the midst of us. As Pentecostal folks, once again, we need to move beyond that dryness. Ezekiel 37:4 says again, he said unto me, prophesied upon these bones, and he said unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And if you read the whole story, the next thing you know, they're up and standing, and flesh comes on them. Why? Because they were prophesied over. And what it was speaking of was life coming back into Israel that was once dead in captivity. And God says, speak to them, they'll come alive again. Oh, may somebody speak again to the church of the living God, the Pentecostal churches, that we come alive once again with the Holy Ghost moving in the midst of us. May we experience it again in our lives and in the church body, because we need it once again. We need to get past that dryness that we're in. We need to get past the dryness in the baptistry. Come on, did you hear what I just said? When you get past the dryness in the baptistry, because see, there ain't nothing that the water does not wash your sins away, but is an outward witness that something happened inside, that people have been getting saved. I'm telling you, we get past the dryness, we're going to experience people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Holy Ghost works in the outer witness of the Lord and the Savior Jesus, and we will see people get saved once again. I knew of one preacher. He said he started his early church. He never dreamed the baptistry. And he told the people he was expecting people to get saved. He said he had some of the church didn't like him keeping the water in the baptistry. He even had some put food coloring in it. Why? Because he was messing with some tradition. But he said literally they had more people saved. I don't know if they came up red, blue, or whatever, but I'm just saying we need the baptistry to be filled once again with people getting saved. Amen? There's nothing that my heart gets thrilled when I see somebody in that baptistry getting saved, or not saved, but an outward witness that something happened in their heart. Once again, getting past that dryness in those moments. That's not an exhausted list. That's just some things I thought of. But there's sometimes we need to move beyond things in our life if we want something different in our spiritual walk. I will give you four things real quick. Four things to move beyond as a Christian, as individuals. Now I'm going to get it on home a little bit in our lives. We need to move beyond hurt. Let me say, we need to move beyond hurt. If I was to ask you this morning, if you've been hurt, to stand, I imagine every one of us would stand. And if I would ask you to stand for every time you've been hurt, some of you would go up and down for quite some time. And I'm going to tell you this life, and then if I was to separate and say, how many have been hurt in the church? And I suspected every one of us would stand up and say, I've been hurt in church. If I was preaching to a house full of pastors and say, how many have ever been hurt in the church? Stand up. Every one of those pastors would stand up. So hurt is part of life. It is what happens in life. It's something that you will not be able to get away from. It's something that's going to take place, but you have an option this morning. You have an option to move past, move beyond it, and go forward with life. You can't live in those moments that you've been hurt, because that gives them the right to control you. When you move beyond the hurt, they no longer control you anymore, and Jesus is working in your life. Hallelujah! Move beyond the times of hurt in your life, because Jesus, He's helping me preach. Yeah. Listen, I've been hurt in deacon meetings, not here. You know, when people leave the church, we get hurt. Come on, I'm just going to speak how it is this morning. It does, it hurts. When people pass away, it hurts. We were talking about security out there in the foyer. We're having a hard time getting security. Gunner will talk to you if you're interested. I said, John Cloyd, you stay out there all the time. People said, well, he never comes in, but he was always out there. I'm just saying, as I've seen in the last 18 years, people passed away. Yes, does it hurt? Yes, it does. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Death happens to all of us. Death happens and touches all of our families, and death touches the church. And you can't live there. Will we have those moments? Do I have moments when I think about people that passed on? Yes, I do. But you know what I've learned? I live not in the moment. I have those moments in my life. But if I want to enjoy life, if I want to enjoy the next day, if I want to go forward in life like they want me to do, I move beyond that. I do not forget them, but I move beyond it, because that's where joy is. I have those moments. Even after 26 years of my dad being gone, I still have those moments that I still shed a tear for my dad. I almost said, Daddy, he would not like that. He'd probably slap me. I was watching John Wayne the other day, and his boys called him Daddy, and he punched him. And so I'm just saying today, we all have that in our life, but we got to move. You can't live there. We got to move on. And even in the church body, you got to move beyond that, because you can't live there. Betrayal, when people stab you in the back. Come on, there it happens. You know, sometimes we feel like we're in our own little group, but no, it happens to all of us. We got to move beyond that, because when we learn to move beyond it, then it is no longer controlling our lives. We got to move beyond that hurt. And we got to move beyond the tendency to hurt others. Come on, it's time. We got to grow up and watch what we say. Be careful of what we say. We got to move beyond offense. Now, I talked about hurt. How many of you have ever been offended? I think we've all been offended in life. Now, I hate to ask you this one. How many of you have ever offended somebody? Three of you. There's moments in life that we do, not intentionally, but we do offend somebody. And there's moments in life that we get offended. We're not treated with the right respect or whatever it may be, but we get offended. And a lot of times people get offended. The whole idea of the bait of Satan, the book that John Bevere wrote, it's a great book. Offense is nothing but a trap from the devil. It's a snare that the enemy wants. And believe me, Jesus himself said every one of us will be offended. But it doesn't mean we have to live in that offense. It may never be resolved. Listen, the hurt that you have may never be resolved, but it's your responsibility, if you want to live, is to move beyond that moment and move into something different, or else it will control you the rest of your life. Is it tough? Does it happen automatically? No, but I'm going to tell you, with the Lord's help, you can move beyond these things. God can help you to move beyond. It may be a moment in a church service. It may be a moment in your prayer life that God helps you to move beyond that. I know it is possible. I've been offended once, maybe twice, three times. No, that's a song. Okay. I have been offended before. I've even offended so bad one time I told Robin, I'm not going back to that church. And I took a walk, and God told me, you're going back to that church. And you're going to learn to get over it. You will learn to move beyond it, because it will not be the last time. But it's your choice to live in it or go beyond it. And you must learn to do that. And with the Lord's help, I'll guarantee you that you can move beyond that. We must move beyond being selfish. There's a lot of things that we can be selfish with as Christians. We can be selfish with our time. I know every one of us have a busy schedule, but sometimes God brings somebody into your life for a moment. And for me, I can be so wrapped up in something. I've always been this way. You can ask Robin, if I'm watching a movie, she can talk to me and I hear nothing. And it may be important. It may be like the house is on fire. But I am so focused on what I am doing. That's just my personality. That's the way I am. In a crowded room, if I'm talking to somebody and someone else says something, sometimes I don't even hear it. I'm just saying, our time, we learn to not be selfish with our time when it comes to individuals. Sometimes our time gets interrupted, but I'll guarantee you, if you just listen to the Holy Spirit, He'll make everything flow. Amen. I remember the devotion Brother Beaver had when we used to have staff meetings in the Lubbock office, and he had a devotion that talked about playing golf in Africa. And he says, you can hit the ball, you'll like this. You can hit the ball, and it may go way down there, and then the monkeys come out and take your ball and run off with the ball and then drop it. And so the new rule was, wherever the monkey drops it, you play the ball. And there's a whole lot of like time in our interruptions and stuff. Wherever that interruption happens, just pick up the pace wherever the ball is dropped and go on about what you're doing. But take time with your time to minister to people in Walmart, wherever it may be, because God has put you there for a purpose. Whatever's waiting on the other side, God will help it be all accomplished. I've watched God in my own life. When I'd be in prayer, God, I said, I don't know how I'm going to do this schedule this week. And I've watched different things move from one spot to the other, that God just, as long as I take time to do what God's wanting me to do, God is able to work supernatural in our life and open your schedules up. That's interesting that our God, who is all-knowing, all-omnipotent, can open our schedules up if we take time. We do serve a supernatural God. Trust Him with your time. You say, I don't have time to teach Sunday school. Trust Him with your time. Here it goes. No. Trust God. We should trust Him when we talk about selfishness, even the stuff that we have. Even the stuff we own. How many of you know that what you have really belongs to God? My white GMC pickup probably has more miles on it for this church than it does for myself. Why? Because that white pickup, that's what God prefers, a GMC. And it belongs to Him. He provided for me for that truck. I tell you, God would provide it in such a way I was able to write a check for that truck. Now, that's God. Now, why shouldn't I use it for His kingdom? Amen? God is good. All our stuff. You have somebody that you need to bring over for lunch at your house? It's not your house. It's God's house. You know, we need to be moving beyond our selfishness. Because, see, Jesus was never selfish. How can I prove that? He gave everything he had to come down to earth and to die up on that cross of Calvary. For who? For himself? No. He had no sin. For you and me. He was very unselfish. Even when he had the right to call an army against those that were crucifying him, he still said, no, I'm giving it all for them. We must move beyond that selfishness. With our money, we talked about that earlier in offering. Let me tell you this. I'm going to read this. And I was informed that that clock back there is slow. I thought it was right on time. 2 Corinthians 9:6-11 says this, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly will reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purpose in his heart. So let God lead you in what you give. Let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward them, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God will bless an unselfish person in all that we do. We move past being lukewarm. And I'm just about done. Go beyond being lukewarm. Now, I was at camp this last week. Maintenance crew. I did work. Don't worry. I wasn't in the recliner the whole time. But I heard somebody say that they were having to take cold showers in the boys' dorm. Now, when I was in the boys' dorm, I knew there was a valve there that you could shut off and turn off all the hot water to everybody in the shower at one time. Don't ask me how I knew that. But nothing like hearing everybody, it's cold. But anyhow, so I thought, well, maybe that's it. Maybe that's what's going on. But I go over there. Instead of that, I check that valve. Sure enough, it's the same valve that's been there for the last 35 years. I think it's the same hot water tank, look like. But anyhow, I look down upon the thermostat. Well, first I thought, okay, I looked at the little knob there, and somebody had turned that on vacation mode. So the water that was literally coming out was lukewarm. Add that to a little bit of cold water, and you got a cold shower. And so I turned it to like almost the hottest, like B probably. And the next day, the guy was telling me it was all cold. He walked by, he says, you heard someone going in the shower. That is hot. But my whole thing is this. Sometimes we don't realize in our life that the thermostat for Jesus has been turned down. We don't realize that the things that we're doing have kept us from our spiritual necessities. The things that keep us on fire for God. The things that keep our spiritual fervor going. The things that keep us on fire for Him, that we're not lukewarm, but we are literally on fire for Jesus. I love to see the group that were up here last Sunday, Nina and all them and Gunner, and the fire that I've seen from going out telling people about Jesus and the trip to New York and what it did in their lives. That fire, that's something to keep. I love the fire that I see when kids come back from kids camp and youth camp and what we have in revival. But somewhere along the line, if we're not careful, the enemy comes in here. We don't realize it, but he takes it from being hot down to vacation. And it's a choice. We need to recognize it, just as they understood they had cold water. But we need to understand sometimes in our life we're not near as fervently on fire for God as what we were. Oh, we're not totally away from God, but we need somebody to sneak in there called the Holy Ghost. Get a hold of that thermostat and turn it back up. You know what I did? Immediately, I looked to make sure there was a fire still going. And I seen the pilot. Can I tell you, if we're lukewarm, there's still a fire going. And when I turned that up, the first thing I heard was, and I thought, we got hot water now. I was just waiting for the testimony from the ones to see if they noticed it. I'm going to tell you, when we're lukewarm, we still have the fire. Our pilot is still lit, but we need the Holy Ghost to crank it up. And all of us, that's why it's important. It's Pentecostal, folks, to get into the presence of the Almighty God and let God's presence come down upon us and let Him stir us up spiritually on fire once again in our lives. Because we need to move beyond lukewarm. Amen? All of us have the tendency to become lukewarm. But all of us have the potential to become on fire. Amen? If you still love Jesus, still trying to serve Him, there's something still lit in you. Let God turn it up. Amen? To move beyond certain things. Megan, if you'll come. To move beyond. I believe it was back in Exodus, the Lord told Moses and them, they've circled that mountain long enough. Amen? I think I preached a message on it one time. I can't remember what all I've preached. But I know sometimes in our own life, we need to hear God and say, hey, you've circled this mountain long enough. It's time to move beyond. You know, I may have not even hit something that you need to move beyond this morning. I haven't time to preach. I just kind of hit, skipped, and missed there. But the whole ideal is, I just want you to take a moment. Is there something in your life right now? You may say, Pastor, I want to grow. You read all those scriptures about growing. And my thought for the sermon was, in order to grow, we must move beyond where we're at. You may have unforgiveness in your heart. Let me tell you, you've got to move beyond it. Amen? You may have some bitterness. You've got to move beyond it. I don't know exactly, but sometimes we get hung up. And it hinders our spiritual growth. And in order to move, I can tell you stories of how God has healed relationships that you would thought they would never. I knew two men that said they were going to kill each other. They hated each other so much, but both of them got saved, and they moved beyond the hate into love for one another. I'm just saying. God can do amazing things. So what do you need to move beyond? What does San Jacinto Assembly of God need to move beyond? What do we as a church need to move beyond in order to see what God has in store for this church?